It's our privilege to come and worship you. Because you're so great, Lord. Worthy to be praised and adored all the time. Thank you, Father, for receiving the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts. Thank you that they are pleasing unto you. Thank you for who you are to us and for all that you do in our lives. We glorify you and magnify your name tonight. Let all the people of God say amen to this prayer.
Amen.
Can you clap your hands and celebrate Jesus tonight? He is worthy. Hallelujah. God bless you and you may be seated. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart, today, Jesus, Lord, to me. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're welcome to tonight's time of impartation. And for this month of June, we have been focusing on the subject of stewardship and leadership. Everybody say stewardship and leadership. Say it one more time. Stewardship and leadership. And today, I want to start sharing with you a bit on the subject of leadership, because we've done quite a lot on stewardship. I'll be rounding up on my teaching on stewardship come Sunday. But for tonight and next Wednesday, which will now bring us to the end of the month of June, I'm going to be talking about leadership. And I want to share with you on the subject, leadership according to God's plan for man, part one. Leadership according to God's plan for man. This is the first part. Would you please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1? And we are reading from verse 26. And I want to read from the New King James Version of the Bible. We're going to read from verse 26 to verse 31. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. And I want you to underline that statement. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Underline them. Then underline the next statement also. Then God blessed them and said to them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for for food. So in the beginning, we were all supposed to be vegetarians. All right? There was no meat in the equation. The meat came after the fall of man. Verse 30. Also, and it was the same arrangement to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. The last verse, 31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. So let me ask you, my friends, that when we talk about leadership, or we talk about a leader, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind when you hear leadership or a leader? What are the first thoughts that enter your mind? Say that again. Service. That's the first thing that comes to you. All right. Anybody else? All right. I think that to the average person, whenever you talk about leadership and leader, and if we'll be very honest with ourselves, immediately we think about position. Is that not so? Yeah. We think about power. We think about authority. And we think about recognition. These are the things that the average person thinks about. And then when you talk about leader, immediately people begin to think of the president, the members of his cabinet, ministers of state. You think about CEOs, managers, headmaster, bishops, pastors. So these are the things we think about anytime we hear leader. But you see, I want you to understand that if you only see leadership from these perspectives, you'll be missing something very important, because it's a limited view of what leadership is about. Hallelujah. So for us to have a proper appreciation and understanding of what leadership is and its purpose, we need to go to the one who created it, or the originator of all good things, including leadership. Because anything that is good came from God. That's what the Bible says. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And God is the one who instituted leadership. So for us to really understand what this whole subject of leadership and leaders, what it is about, we have to go to God. And how do we go to God? We have to go to his word. Because his word contains everything that he has to say to us and every explanation we need for anything in this life. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get into the word of God, what we will discover, that leadership really, according to God, is essentially about responsibility, about service. Michelle, you're right. About stewardship. And then it is about influence. Everybody say with me, responsibility, service, stewardship, and influence. Say it again. Responsibility, service, stewardship, and influence. So this is essentially what leadership is about. Of course, there is a dimension of leadership that has to do with position and power and authority and recognition. But you miss the picture completely if that is all your mind is focused on. But a proper understanding of what leadership is, as God institutionalized it, is that it is about responsibility. It's about service. It's about stewardship. And it is about influence. So if you go back to the scripture that I read from the very beginning, it started off by saying, and then God said, let us make man in our image. Now that's plural. Let us. Our. So then the question you ask is that who was God talking to? Who was God speaking to? What do you think? Yes? It's a teaching service. And sometimes in teaching, you ask questions. And you must get answers to the questions. So God says, let us make man in our image. That's plural. So who is he talking to? Are they? Exactly. So this is what the Holy Trinity, or one of the scriptures that supports the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And Bible theologians agree that the us here is referring to the Holy Trinity. And when we talk about the Holy Trinity, what we are saying is that there is one God, but he exists eternally in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the scriptures we use to prove that during the creation, all the three persons of the Holy Trinity were present and active. Hallelujah. So, humanity or man, we can say, was created by the united work of all the three persons in the Holy Trinity. They worked together. And that gives us an idea about leadership. That leadership is about teamwork. But we'll get into that when we move on. So humanity was created by the united work of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Trinity. And you can see that man was supposed to reflect God's character, God's authority, and God's ability. Man, when he was created, was supposed to reflect God's character, God's authority, and God's ability. So that is why he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That when you look at man, you can see the image of God. And when you look at man, you can see the likeness of God in terms of his character, in terms of his authority, and in terms of his ability. Praise the name of Jesus. Then he continues and says, let them have dominion. Everybody say dominion. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Now that word dominion is a very, very important word. And it is translated from a Hebrew word, radah, as in R-A-D-A, radah, which means to tread down or to subjugate. Subjugate is spelled S-U-B-J-U. Now the gate as also. Subjugate. What does it mean? It means to bring someone or something under control. So you make a subject of that thing. So there's a word subject in the word subjugate. So the word dominion, which is translated from the Hebrew word radar, means to tread down or subjugate, which means to bring someone or something under control. But that word also means to rule and to reign. To rule and to reign. And what that should tell us, ladies and gentlemen, is that when God set out to create human beings, he had an idea of a kingdom and a king. Because once you talk about ruling and reigning, it suggests a kingdom and a king. So it appears that God had in mind a kingdom or a domain which will have a king to rule over that domain, so that that domain will benefit from the resources available in that domain. I'll say that again. When God created man, he said, "Let them have dominion." And dominion means to tread down, to subjugate, to bring something or someone under control. But essentially, it means to reign or to rule. So it tells us that God had a kingdom in mind, which is like a domain that he was making man king of. And man's responsibility was to rule so that that domain or kingdom will benefit from the resources that are available there. And ladies and gentlemen, that connotes the idea of leadership. And that's what God had in mind. And it will interest you, and I find it very intriguing, that when you go back to the scripture we read, verse 26, let's read it again. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion." I want to draw your attention to what man was supposed to have dominion over. What was he supposed to have dominion over? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. It did not include his fellow man. He did not mention man as part of what the man he had created was supposed to have dominion over. And that is a very important observation, which should tell us that according to God's initial idea and plan, leadership, as he sets it up here, is not over people, but over things. Or dominion, which means to subjugate and to have control over something or somebody. The initial list as presented here did not include man's fellow man. And I want to say to you that it has never been God's plan that man should dominate his fellow man. Never. So what we see where men dominate and control and exploit and manipulate and intimidate his fellow man in the name of leadership is an abnormality. That's never how God intended it to be. So right here from Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 31, we can learn 7 important truths about leadership. Because this is where leadership began. It began with God when he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then the next thing he said was that let them have dominion, which is about ruling, which is about reigning, which suggests a kingdom, which suggests that man was created to be king over the earth and over the things on the earth. So that was leadership. That is what it was about. And there are some 7 important truths we can learn about leadership from this scripture we read in Genesis 1, 26 to 31. The first one is that leadership comes from God. Leadership comes from God. It is not man's idea. It is God's idea. So God created leadership. Then he gave it to man. And his intention was that he would be helping man to sustain it. So the first important truth is that leadership comes from God. Everybody say with me, leadership comes from God. Number two, everyone is called to lead in some way. Everyone is called to lead in some way. So what God said at the beginning and said, let them have dominion, that them there, obviously, is referring to who? Initially, it is referring to who? Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve are representative of all of us. Because think about it. How can only 2 people replenish the whole earth? It is by producing others like themselves. And that instruction to have dominion or to rule and to reign was by extension supposed to affect everybody else who comes out through them. And it's a very important thing for you to understand that every single one of us has been called to lead in one way or the other. Which means that leadership is not just for some people. Leadership is for all of us. The problem is that some are active leaders, others are passive leaders. But their passivity gives you the impression that they are not leaders. But according to God's agenda and plan for humanity, every single human being on the face of this planet called Earth is expected to lead in one way or the other. Hallelujah. So then leadership is not only for presidents or CEOs or pastors or bishops. God has given every person the capacity to lead and make a difference. It is there. And it is in you. Every one of you listening to me, the capacity to lead and to make a difference is in you. But the tragedy is that most people live out their lives without fulfilling their purpose. And without making the best out of their potential and that capacity that God has placed in them. And because of that, we end up being exploited. And people paint the picture that they are the leaders and all of us are supposed to be subjects to them. But in the beginning, that was not how God created it. So from what we've read, we should understand that everyone is called to lead in some way. The third truth is that leadership is a responsibility from God. Leadership is a responsibility from God. Because you can see from verse 26 down there, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that moveth. Go to verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That is called responsibility. Responsibility. So that's why I mentioned to you earlier that leadership is about responsibility. It was responsibility being given to them right here. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over this, over that, and all of that. If you summarize that, it comes down to one very important word, responsibility, which means that leadership is a responsibility from God. Number four, leadership is how God carries out his purposes on earth. Leadership is how God carries out his purposes on earth. What purpose did God have when he created the heavens and the earth? For the earth, his intention was that the earth should be filled. His intention was that the earth was to be subdued. But how was that going to happen? It was going to happen through his masterpiece creation. That is man himself, humanity. And he gave humanity leadership to carry out his purposes of filling the earth and subduing it. And what that tells us is that leadership is the means by which God carries out his purposes on the earth. And God works through people to extend his influence and accomplish his will in the world. Hallelujah. Number five. Again, from the passage we read, Genesis 1, 26 to 31, leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. Leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. So in verse 26 and 28, God instructed man to have dominion over the earth and its resources, and not to dominate or oppress other human beings. Whenever you see such a thing happening, know that it is contrary to how God wanted things to be done. The thing is that we have all come to accept oppression, and we've all come to accept domination and a certain level of controlling and manipulating. And the thing is that when something is done so much and so many times, it ends up becoming like the norm. And everybody just accepts it and everybody just controls it. But the truth of the situation is that leadership, as God set it up, was about managing things and not controlling people. And when it comes to people, it's about influencing people, guiding people. That's what it is about. So obviously, when you have any group of people and you have somebody leading them, the one leading them is supposed to influence them, is supposed to guide them, is supposed to encourage them and stir up the best in them so that he can work with them to do whatever has to be done. But it is not about the leader of the leaders dominating them and controlling them. How many can understand what I'm saying to you so far? So leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. The sixth truth is that leadership involves working with others. Leadership involves working with others. Leadership involves working with others. Because what did God say? Let them have dominion. He included the man and the woman. And that means he included everyone who was going to come out of them. And the instruction was that all of them collectively are to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and so on and so forth. So leadership, we must understand, involves working with others. Which means that leadership is not a one-person show. It requires teamwork and cooperation. It requires teamwork and cooperation. That is what true leadership is about. And the last truth is that leadership is built on influence. Leadership is built on influence. Which means that a leader is supposed to positively influence others and inspire them to work together toward a common purpose. That's what leadership is about. So whenever you have a leader of an organization, a leader of an institution, a leader of a church, a leader of a business, a leader of the home, his role or his leadership is supposed to be built on influence, where he or she is supposed to positively influence others, those with him and those around them, and inspire them to work together with him or her toward a common purpose. That's what leadership is. So to summarize again, there are seven important truths about leadership that we can glean from the scripture we read in Genesis 1, 26 to 31. Number one, leadership comes from God. Number two, everyone is called to lead in some way. Number three, leadership is a responsibility from God. Number four, leadership is how God carries out his purposes on earth. Number five, leadership is about managing things, not controlling people. Number six, leadership involves working with others. And number seven, leadership is built on influence. Hallelujah. So we are pressing on and we are building up to something. So now, based on all these powerful truths that I've shared with you, I think that we are now in a position to attempt to define what leadership is. We have looked at where leadership originated from. It is clear that it originated from God. And we have understood seven important truths about what leadership is. So now, based on that, we can go ahead and then define leadership. And this is the definition of leadership. Leadership is using the gifts, abilities, and opportunities that God has given you to wisely manage resources, accomplish God's purpose, serve people, and inspire others to do the same. Take it again. Leadership is using the gifts, abilities, and opportunities that God has given you to wisely manage resources, accomplish God's purpose. Serve people and inspire others to do the same. That's what leadership is. I'll take it one more time. Leadership is using the gifts, abilities, and opportunities God has given you to wisely manage resources, accomplish God's purpose, serve people, and inspire others to do the same thing. So if you are the leader of an organization, you are supposed to use the gifts, the abilities, and the opportunities you have to wisely manage the resources in the organization. And if you are working with the right mind to accomplish God's purpose, serve people and inspire others to do the same. If you are the leader of the Ashes ministry, you must understand that as a leader, you are supposed to use your gifts, your abilities, and the opportunity you have to be a leader to wisely manage resources. Some of the resources are human resources. Some of the resources are material resources. But you wisely manage these resources, then you to accomplish God's purpose. And if you are the leader of the Ashes, you are supposed to serve people. Serve the people you are leading. And then you are to inspire them, the people you are serving, the people you are leading. Inspire them that they too will use their gifts, their abilities, and the opportunities they have to also help carry out the work. That's what leadership is. Hallelujah. Then some weeks ago, I also told you that leadership is the ability to influence, guide, and inspire people toward a common goal. Leadership is the ability to influence, to guide, and inspire people toward a common goal. So a leader, therefore, is a person who develops and uses his or her God-given gifts and abilities to wisely manage resources, fulfill God's purpose, help others, and encourage people to join in accomplishing that purpose. That's who a leader is. So this gives us a definition of leadership and who a leader is. And notice that I mentioned that he develops and uses his or her God-given gifts and God-given abilities. God-given gifts and God-given abilities. Every single one of us has God-given gifts and God-given abilities. And if God has given you gifts and has given you abilities, his expectation is that you will use them to do a good thing. And that is what leadership is about. And there's a difference between the gifts and the abilities. So you see, the gifts are what God has placed in you, which are like the things which come naturally to you, or things that are easy for you to do. So if you find out that there are things that just come naturally to you, And there are things that are easy for you to do. Those things are gifts. But abilities have to do with the strength and the capabilities that enable a person to function and to accomplish tasks. That's what ability. So when you say you have an ability, it means that you have the strength, you have the capability to do something. So there's a difference between the God-given gifts and the God-given abilities. So for example, you can say that a person has the gift of teaching. He has the gift of teaching. I think that by the grace of God, I have the gift of teaching. But that gift of teaching needs certain abilities, like the ability to study, the ability to communicate clearly, the ability to connect with people. It is not enough just to have the gift, but you need to have the ability to make the best use of the gift. So you can have the gift of teaching, but you must have the ability to study. Do you think that I just get up and come and stand here and then start teaching? I have the gift of teaching by the grace of God. But I have an ability to study. The ability to communicate clearly. And the ability to connect with people. Because these are needed to make the best use of the gift of teaching that I have. So it means that what makes the person effective is a combination of the gifts and the ability. Hallelujah. And leadership is where whatever God has placed in you, the gifts and the abilities, you use them wisely to do great things, to accomplish God's purposes, to manage resources, to influence others. That is what leadership is about. And there are different examples of gifts. I've mentioned one, teaching. The gift of teaching. The gift of leadership. So you see, every one of us is supposed to be a leader in some way. But then what you will discover is that some are, you know, strongly gifted in that area. It's almost like they do it without struggling. So although all of us are supposed to be leaders, for some people it comes naturally. And what you see about them is that wherever they find themselves, leadership roles are assigned to them. And it's like effortlessly they are able to get things done. Without struggle, they become class prefect. Without struggle, they become school prefect. Without struggle, they become president of the students, SRC, you know, for the students, students representative council. Or they become leader of the scripture union. It comes naturally. So there are people who are gifted in leadership. Singing and music. So there are people who are gifted in singing and in music. What it means is that it comes naturally. Now, there are people who when they hear a song once, twice, it stays. And within a very short time, they are able to sing the song. I don't have that. It takes a long time before I learn a song. But there are people who have that gift of singing and the gift of music. People have the gift of evangelism because you can be gifted in that area. Without talking plenty, before you realize, people are following you to church.
So all of us are supposed to evangelize, oh. But you realize that some people seem to have better results than others. And the reason is because they have a gift of evangelism or giving generously. There are people, they don't struggle to give. So don't also say that because I said that you are not going to do your best in giving. Because if people have a gift for giving, then they should give. I don't have it. So don't get to the place where I'm asking you to give and tell me that I don't have the gift of giving generously. Please, you are trying to spoil the church. Hospitality. There are people who are able to take good care of others, who are able to show hospitality, who are able to, you know, talk to people, let them feel nice, let them feel welcome, let them feel happy, let them feel comfortable. It's a gift. Mercy and compassion, that one is also a gift. There are people who are very merciful, and there are people who show compassion. Wisdom. There are some people who have a special gift of wisdom. Creativity and artistry. There are people who have the gift of being able to just create things. And you can tell the difference. That is what makes, you know, artisans stand out from their peers. The gift. So you may have two people, each one of them says he's a mason or a carpenter. Mason number one, when he does concrete work and then he plasters things and everything, very correct, very straight. But the other guy who says he's a mason, every time near ekpa afa, it means that the thing has charred. Carpenter, come and fix door. When you come and look at the door, you say, oh, what door? What door? What door is this one? Because the door is dancing bricks. The annoying thing is that when you go and say it, they can't see what you are talking. They feel that it is much ado about nothing. You are making a fuss about it. And it's a typical, that's one of the things you find, especially with Ghanaian artisans. And yes, funny, sir. But sometimes you meet artisans, sometimes you meet a fashion designer, you meet a hairstylist, and when the person does the thing, no, won't bow. It's like you know that, or like a mechanic. Before you take your car out for somebody to fix, pray about it. Because you went there with one problem. But the time the guy finishes with you and you are returning, the car is never the same again. And you don't know what he did. Because a lot of these mechanics that have set up automobile shops, they do a lot of trial and error. And even those who say they have a diagnostic machine, they don't understand what they are doing. But there are times when you bump into somebody different, somebody exceptional. And you can see that. And that's why you see that with people like that, a lot of people like to go to them. When they go, so you see, Mr. Nsia has an automobile shop. When you go there are a lot of cars there, a lot of people, and he cannot even satisfy the demand. Then a few meters away, Mr. Usu also has a mechanic shop. And nobody is going to him. Sometimes the difference is what people are gifted in. Gifts. Some are gifted in administration and organization. You see, I'm trying to get you to understand when we talk about gifts, what we mean. Then, of course, abilities. Abilities. As I've explained to you, your ability is the strength
that you have and the capability you have to do certain things. There's a good example of somebody who had a great ability. He was gifted to do things, but he also had an ability to do them. Let's look at one scripture, Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 to 5, and then we close. Exodus 31, verse 1 to 5. So now let's go to the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses, this was when God instructed Moses to set up the tabernacle. He said, look, I said New Living Translation, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, or Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. I've chosen him. To do what? He said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom and what? Ability and what? Expertise in all kinds of crafts. Verse 4. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled, ability in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. Then it says he is a master at every craft. So you see somebody who is gifted and who also has ability. And anytime you think about leadership, understand that whatever gift you have, whatever ability you have, and every one of us without exception have these. Some are gifted in a greater measure than others. Some have a greater ability than others. But there is no one who doesn't have gifts and abilities. And there's a purpose for them. God wants you to use them wisely to manage resources that are available to you, to carry out his purposes for. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And he wants us to use our gifts and our abilities to carry out those purposes. And not just that, he wants us to be able to work with others, cooperate with others, influence others to work with us. And then also they too should be able to use their gifts and their abilities to do the same. That is what leadership is about. Your gifts and your abilities. If I take something like sports, football. If you ask, like, who the two greatest footballers of our time are, first name they'll mention is who? Messi. Second name, Ronaldo. Even the chicks know it. The difference between the two of them is that with Messi, it is more of a gift. And with Ronaldo, it is more of like ability. It's like there are things you can do, but it's like you have to put in a lot of work and effort to be able to do the thing. That is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's gifted, but he's not gifted to the same extent as Messi is. Now think about it. All of them are doing marvelously well. So, from today, don't take lightly what you are gifted in and the abilities that you have. Don't take them lightly. And understand that you have a responsibility to use those gifts and the abilities to accomplish God's purpose. Do not let your gifts and your abilities make you proud. Because when it happens, you are digging a hole for yourself.
Because humility is supposed to guide you in using your gifts and your abilities. When you get to a place where now you are full of yourself, and you talk to people anyway, anyhow, and you begin to bluff, and you feel that because I am gifted and talented, nobody can do without me, and that the thing, I mean, things will just work out. I mean, things will never work out without me. Are you gifted? Yes. Do you have certain abilities? Yes. But you are lost. And at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that others who are not as gifted and have abilities like you do will overtake you. So they will be lifted up, but you will come down. That's what happened to Lucifer. Gifted, talented, but he became proud, and now he started misusing his authority and everything. At the end of the day, he managed to confuse a third of the angels to rebel with him and to stage a coup d'etat. What happened to him? He was cast down. So you have gifts, you have abilities, but they come with responsibility. And you must handle them with a lot of humility. Don't bluff with what God has given to you. Don't develop airs with what God has given to you. Don't start complaining all the time. Because the thing is that when you're gifted and you have certain abilities, there'll be a lot more demand on you than on those who are not gifted. But don't let that thing get into your head and cause you to start misbehaving. But understand that every single one of us are expected to be leaders, to use the gifts and our abilities to make a difference wherever we find ourselves. Next week, I'm going to continue, but I trust that you have been blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father, for tonight, and thank you for this teaching. What you gave to me, I have shared with your people, but I know that I have limitations. Thank you that the Holy Spirit has none, and may He bring deeper understanding of what we've shared today to your people. I thank you in Jesus' name. Help us to rise up and take up our roles, our responsibilities, and be the leaders that you want us to be. I pray in the name of Jesus that you bring us out of passivity. When we see a church like this, with so many people on the membership roll, yet very few are actively involved in doing their best. And many of them, their mindset is that others are supposed to lead. I am just supposed to be there and just be receiving things. There's a time to receive, but there's also a time to give. And let your people rise up and embrace your charge, your responsibility, and run with the expectations that you have of them. And let us begin to do well and to do great exploits to the glory of your name wherever we find ourselves, at our workplaces, in our families, in church, in school, in our communities. Let us rise up into the leadership which is our destiny and our purpose. And may we begin to make a difference wherever we find ourselves. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all shall say, Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap if you can.